Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but believe me, never duplicated. I am the original podcast. Been on the internet since 1992. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest running fight show industry approaching. Take that back. We surpassed 4 decades, 40 years of knocking out all bumps. That's right. Straight up, this is your inside look in the world of boxing. Of course, we are 6 days away from the mega card coming from Saudi Arabia. Of course, on top, the rematch I don't want to see. Archer Bitabev, of course, the undefeated light heavyweight champion, 21 and zip, 20 KOs. Of course, taking on Dmitry Bivol, a guy that he beat already. And in his last fight, I don't need to see it again. Sort of like, you know, I seen it once, I don't need to see it again. Bottom line is, they're going to hook up once again. Of course, Bivol, 23-1, 11 KOs. His pitfall, or his negative, is that he can't punch. I mean, he can't punch, can't hurt nobody, can't do a whole lot of things when it comes to a guy like Archer Bitabev. Of course, the co-feature, Danny Dubois and Joseph Parker, a bit of a coin toss there in the heavyweight division. Carlos Adamas and Hamza Shiraz. Anyway, bottom line is, I don't know too much about either guy there. Virgil Ortiz and Israel Majumov, of course, that's going to be a rocker. No doubt about that, for as long as Virgil can take it, because I think Virgil's like damaged goods. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Shakur Stevenson, and supposedly a showcase fight against number 11th ranked Floyd Schofield. Schofield comes in 18 and zip, but they give him two chances, slim and none, and slims out of town, of course. And the co-feature, another co-feature on this card, they're all features. I mean, they're all featured bouts. There's no doubt about it. It could be main events anywhere. Number 10, Double Z, Zil Zhang, of course, the heavyweight from China, 27-2, taking on Ajit Kayabel. Kayabel's 25 and zip. And get this, he's a betting favorite. So I've never heard of this guy. Bottom line is, not too many people have. Callum Smith and Joshua Bossi for a cruiserweight title on the bar. Of course, a couple other fights as well. But the bottom line is, that's a mega card, no doubt about that. Of course, that's on pay-per-view. We'll talk about that and more with Tommy D. And we'll hear about Ken Norton. We'll hear from Ken Norton Jr., Ken Norton Sr., all kinds of stuff about Norton in hour number two. And we're bringing primetime Eddie Croft in hour number two as well. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline ticket, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I don't know if I told you this, but my partner now is the lead singer of the Commodores. That's right, Brent Carter, of course, formerly with the Tower of Power, lead singer for Tower of Power, lead singer for the Average White Band, and now the lead singer for the Commodores. Of course, Lionel Richie is a tough act to follow, no doubt about that. Straight up, speaking of tough acts to follow, not too many people can follow my next guest. So we're talking about the shot caller, of course, on Sunday, Mr. Sir Thomas Dillamuth. And how are you today, sir?
What's going on, Pedro? I'm doing well, and you?
You know, I'm gonna bring Bailey in on this one. You know, hey Bailey, do you know any hotels there in Marin County?
Not one. Yeah, I'm not a big hotel-motel guy.
All right. Damn, you were supposed to back me up on this one because I asked Tommy D. I said, Tommy D, tell me about a hotel in the Bronx. He's lived there his entire life, and he can't tell me of a hotel. So I said, ask his wife. And that sort of acted a little weird. That was a little weird of a question, but it really wasn't that weird because I want to know because she's lived there her whole life too. But the bottom line is nobody knows of a hotel. Sock came up with a hotel, the Westin, something like that. But the bottom line is thanks a lot, Tommy D.
I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't know any of at first you asked me for a motel.
Oh, motel. Thanks a lot, man. Oh, man. Kicking me below the belt here, man.
You try to get me in trouble, man.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. You know, I wouldn't. What I remember Cosell said that one time to Muhammad, says, you're trying to get me in trouble. Yeah, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, champ. Anyway, straight up. Pretty good fights the last couple of weeks. Of course, the big fight's going to come down next week. The rematch between Bivol, 23-1. Of course, the undefeated Artur Bitaev, 21-0 with 20 KOs. But let's get the bad news out of the way to begin with. I saw a picture of Bobby Chez, and he doesn't look like he's long for this world. You know, I broadcasted this fight, back, I think, back in 1992 against Donny Lalonde. I think it was against Donny Lalonde at the Riviera Hotel. That was when the mob still ran boxing. No, take it back. When the mafia was still in the hotel business in Las Vegas, because the guy that ran the Riviera Hotel when I was working for them, Al Raparan or something like that, I think he was a mob. So I can say I think he was a mob, right? Just like sometimes I think you're connected, Tommy D.
Well, I'm not, but you know, I appreciate the thoughts.
Can you take a lie detector on that one? Polygraph?
Maybe
exactly. Make me. All right. Let's get to the subject hand. Of course, the world of boxing is everybody's waiting on this card next week. But I want to talk about. I think people are glossing over the fact that David Benavidez
did what he was supposed to do. He did it impressively. And I just think that people aren't giving him his credit. I mean, come on, the guy went through 168 pounds. Nobody wanted to fight him. And I'm talking about the nobody being the number one guy, Canelo Alvarez, of course. And you know, and he skipped. He made him go up to 175. He made Morell move to 175. I mean, I've never heard of a guy make guys move up in weight before because they won't fight him. I've heard of guys move up in weight because they're scared of guys, but never because the other guy won't fight him. I never heard of that before. I mean, imagine if Joe Frazier would have said, you know what? Muhammad Ali hasn't fought in 3.5 years. Screw him. I don't want to fight him.
Yeah, imagine that. That would be that crazy. That would, you know, history would be quite different.
And now, of course, as we mentioned last week, Canelo's getting some skull. Of course, Williams' skull, that's going to go down, of course, May the 3rd. That'll be on pay-per-view. They're going to have the audacity to put that on pay-per-view, Tommy D.
Yeah, that's a joke. I mean, but one thing is that what we've seen with fights that have been put on pay-per-view that Turkey's done, they haven't been quite as expensive as, you know, the PBC, what they, you know, what's charging.
You know, I've got a new name for the Turk. You know what that is? I call him Sheikh Adnan Al-Kaisi. You know who he was?
No, I don't.
He was a wrestling bad guy. And back in the days when they had pro wrestling was big, he was AW. Sock knows what I'm talking about, I think. But the bottom line is he played like he was an Arab and all kinds of crazy, you know, it was fun stuff. Anyway, how did I get off on that tangent? I have no idea. But back to Benavidez. Let's go back to Benavidez just for a second. What would you do? What would you do next if you were him? Would you? I mean, there's nothing really to wait on for him, is there? Outside of this, Beterbiev Bivol fight. And I heard him say the other day that he would want to fight Bivol, but he wouldn't want to fight Beterbiev. I mean, I don't believe that. I think that's a negotiating ploy. What do you think?
I think he'll fight either or. I think. I mean, if he wants to be, you know, after his last fight, he said he is, you know, one of the faces of boxing now, and I tend to believe him. I mean, people really like David Benavidez. You know, he fought a tough guy in David Morrell. David Morrell's no pushover. I thought I actually picked David Morrell to win the fight. You know, so I think he wants to be the face of boxing. I think he wants to be the guy. You know, Canelo kind of passed him up. You know what, and passed up not only on him, but he passed up on all the fans that wanted to see it. You know, and I think David Benavidez is there to make the best fights and the biggest fights against the biggest names. So I think the winner of Beterbiev and Bivol, I think he truly does want to fight the winner and be undisputed in that weight class.
Okay, I watched a couple of the fights last night. Yawn. I didn't get off on too many of them. Of course, you have to listen. When you cover the game, and I've said this before, and I think I stole this line from Howard Cosell or Jack Fisk or some great guy, but the bottom line is he said, percentage-wise, if you watch 50 fights, you're probably not going to watch you're probably going to watch percentage-wise the same amount of entertaining events as you would if you watched a baseball game or a football game or an NBA game. You feel me? So there was, you know, there was some duds in between last night. But what did but pound for pound right now, Beterbiev is like got to be near the top of the list, right?
Yeah, he's definitely top 5 pound for pound in my opinion.
Okay, but he's old. He's older than me almost, right?
He is, you know, and that's why you're looking for new names eventually coming up. You know, the younger guys coming up and
like
maybe taking that crown.
Like who?
Like I think, like David Benavidez. David Benavidez is definitely got to be a top guy now, pound for pound. You know, it's unfortunate he didn't get become, champion or undisputed or unified in super middleweight because Canelo's holding all those belts ransom. So, now he's moving up in a weight class and you got two big guys there. You got one that beat Canelo convincingly, and you got another guy that's been beating up on everybody that's never lost.
Okay, I'm like a pinball machine this morning. I'm going all over the place. Tell me one fighter you think is going to really shine in 2025. Would it be Keyshawn Davis?
You know, I was there Friday night. And I like Keyshawn Davis a lot. I like his energy, and I like, he has a good support system behind him. He has a good fan base. You know, I know in the theater they only hold up to like 5,000 people. They did do a sellout from what I was told. And and I think that's pretty impressive. He did 10,000 in Virginia, and he's building his name up more. I like to say Keyshawn would be the big name, but you always need that big dance partner, to be big in this sport, right? You can't continue fighting Dennis Berenchiks of the world. Not that I'm discrediting him. You know, he won a world title and he did what he had to do.
Time out. I'm glad you brought that up. What was the exact verbiage you said there? He won a world title, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is he really a world champion? I mean, come on. Or was he a sanctioning body champion? I mean, we've got to differentiate between the two. We just have to. There aren't that many world champions in boxing.
No, you know what? I don't like discrediting fighters in that. I think he is a world champion. But, you know, sometimes, you know, in my opinion, a lot of other, you know, people's opinions as well, to be really proclaimed as a world champion, you have to defend that title at least once or twice. So, yes, he was crowned champion and he just won a championship. But now let's see him defend the championship and truly, you know, be proclaimed as a world champion.
No, but you're not seeing my point here. I'm trying to say, when you've got four guys the same weight claiming they're world champions, you can't have four world champions. It's impossible. We don't. You, Tommy D, look at the math. There's not four worlds.
You're right. But those other world champions are not fighting, you know, the guys that they should be fighting. You have a world champion in the WBA in Tank Davis, and he's bringing up guys from 130 to fight him at 135.
That's only because Bailey turned him down. Not enough money.
You have Lomachenko, who I believe is the IBF champion, and he's not defending it, and he's, you know, supposedly spending time with his family and, you know, hasn't made a decision if he's going
to
fight.
Well,
and
the, then Russian, you have, the Russians are about to step on Ukraine with Donald Trump's help, so he's probably stressing.
And then you have Shakur Stevenson, the WBC champion, who's going to defend his title against, you know, a kid that's just coming up and Floyd, you know, Schofield. So, you know, it's a let's see what's going to happen after this fight or next fight, you know. And I like Keyshawn. He's got two big impressive victories in a row, you know, and I always want to see what he's going to do next. He's called out the big names. He wants to fight the big names. So now it's a matter of, you know, is it going to happen or is it not? So I definitely think Keyshawn could be a big name for 2025.
You still don't feel me, though, huh, as far as the world champion is concerned.
I totally do.
Because here's what's up. If I'm the Golden Glove champion of Northern California, you can't have another Golden Glove champion. This is me. You know what I'm trying to say? You can't.
Yeah.
So if there's a world champion, there's got to be. I mean, Oleg Usyk, I guess we got to consider him the world champion. Got to consider Beterbiev the world champion. Got to consider Nonoa Inoue the world champion. Maybe at 118, you might want to consider Junto Nakatani the world champion. Name me one other division where you might consider a guy a world champion. I mean, a guy that's clearly above the best, above the others.
Right now?
Yeah.
it's hard to say. That's a good question. But I just don't want to discredit what Keyshawn's done.
Trying to discredit what he's done. I'm just trying to lay it out, man, that, you know, if there were four Golden Glove champions in Northern California, we'd have a problem.
And they should fight each other.
No, there shouldn't be four champions to begin with. But I get you. And I always thought that having a whole lot of belts is good because it spreads around the money. We'll talk about that more after the break. Tommy D on Sports Byline.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816. Keep listening for an exciting offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day,
injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump. Call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost, and delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Co-pays and deductibles may apply. Call 800-223-4979. That's 800-223-4979. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, where do you hurt?
It's my head, Doc. It's my head.
Dizzy? Ringing in your ears?
Well, I mean, it's all the time, Doc.
Like bells?
That's it, Doc, like bells. Huh? That Doc.
How do they go? Dong dong, ding ding, or ding dong? It's important.
Ding dong? Dong ding?
No second guessing. Too bad. Should go dong dong.
Little comedy to sort of preface hour number two. Hour number two, I'm going to go deep on Ken Norton. Ken Norton, of course, the former WBC heavyweight title holder at one point in time, was given the title. Of course, when Muhammad Ali refused to defend the title, decided he would go a rematch with Leon Spinks. Of course, him losing to Spinks the first time, which I thought was a bit smelled, but the bottom line is Ali said it was straight up, yeah, yeah. Of course, Ali won the rematch and retired, came back a couple years later and got licked by Larry Holmes, of course, and then Trevor Rubric ended his career about a year after that in 1981. But straight up, we'll talk about Ken Norton in depth. We'll hear some stuff about Norton's death. His career, and I told you I had confrontations with the dude. I had to call security one time almost on it. Bottom line is, we'll talk about that in depth in hour number two. Of course, also in hour number two, trainer extraordinaire, Mr. Eddie Croft of Primetime Boxing and B Street Boxing down there. Primetime Eddie Croft from B Street Boxing down there in San Mateo, California. Now, back to the phone line, of course, and the Sunday Shot caller, Mr. Sir Thomas Dillamuth. And Sir Thomas, I have to ask, how's the agent?
The agent as well. It's doing well. Can't complain.
Okay. You know, the WBA is talking about going back to 15 rounds, and they wanted to go 15 rounds in some fights. Do you know what the damage guys – have you seen these guys that go 12 rounds with the damages to them 5-10 years later? I mean, it's not pretty.
It's not. And I think that was the reason why they went from 15 to 12 to begin with.
Exactly. And Suleiman, you know, when Suleiman did this, I said to him, you can't do it. You can't do it. And then he got me on the phone one day. And he spent about 15 minutes on the phone. And he didn't convince me of a whole lot of stuff, but he convinced me of that. He convinced me that the 13th or 14th and 15th round is for what? If you can't figure out who's won or who's the better athlete after 36 minutes, why would another 9 minutes matter? Especially when guys seem to get hurt, their energy is depleted. I mean, after 36 minutes of fighting is a long time.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, you know, and now athletes now are just bigger and stronger, and it's much more, you know, science is involved where you know, there's more enhancement in, you know, in athletes' performances and stuff. So, you know, and these guys are getting hit to the head way too many times. And, you know, and it's not just the fight, you know, these preparation for these fights as well, you know, the sparring, you know. So, I mean, the constant, you know, blows to the head is just – it's not good for professional fighters, you know, years after.
Heavyweight contender Jimmy Young, who, like, you know, almost beat the best but didn't quite do it. Bottom line is, he was punchy from sparring. I mean, he sort of admitted that. And I think Roy Jones sort of tripped on that. So, you know, these guys get lit up in sparring. And, you know, James Broad, One time he was the NABF heavyweight title holder, of course, out of Las Vegas, but originally out of, like, North Carolina. They found him behind the Greyhound station in Fayetteville, North Carolina, dead. I mean, this is what happens to these guys, man. It's not – I can't stress it enough. You know, I mean, there's a beauty of it without a doubt, and then there's the ugly side.
Yeah, I can't really get much into it. Like, it's just it's – you know, when you really dig deep into it, it's just sad, and it's not enough money, you know, that these athletes make that, you know, will
there's not enough money in the world.
You know, the damage that they take. No, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
For the record, the last heavyweight title fight that went 15 rounds was scheduled for 15 rounds was when Tyrell Biggs challenged Mike Tyson, chuckle, October 16, 1987. You're laughing on the end of it, but Tyrell was part of the 84 team. Tyrell and I were at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. He was a good guy to be around. He was big. He was tall. I didn't think anybody could ever outbox him, this and that. But then again, he fought this little short guy named Mike Tyson, and Tyson almost killed him. And here's what's up. Tyson was hitting him to the body, and Tyson said, "You could hear him squirm like a little girl." I mean, that was cold. Yeah. Did you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was cold. You can hear him wail like a little girl. I mean, Mike, man. Anyway, Mike was a piece of work. Let's talk. How can I put this? The current heavyweight picture, of course, the Oleg Usyk all by himself. This Danny Dubois and Joseph Parker fight, is this the legitimate next opponent for the World Heavyweight Champion?
I think it depends on who wins. I think if I think Usyk, he doesn't mind giving a rematch to Dubois if he wished to win. But if Parker was to win, I don't think he gives Parker a fight. That's just my opinion. I mean, that fight is for the IBF championship. So
hold on. Ching Ching, the WBC interim title, I think, or one of them. Anyway, bottom line is it's Ching Ching for the sanctioning bodies.
No, Dubois has one of the titles.
Oh, he's the IBO. Oh, he's the International Black Federation. He's the International Black Champion.
Yeah.
Of the International Boxing Federation.
Yeah.
People know why I call it that. Bob Lee told me that when he started the International Boxing Federation, he started it for black guys. That's what he told me, straight up. He said, black guys don't get a break. Black fighters don't get a break with the WBA because they're headquartered down there in Panama or somewhere in South America. And, of course, the WBC is from Mexico, and they favor Mexican fighters. Really? Take a look at Canelo Alvarez. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. But Biggs and Tyson, you know, when I look back at the career of Mike Tyson, this and somebody said to me he didn't beat any good guys. Tyrell Biggs was an Olympic gold medalist. Tyson beat some really good guys. Why do they try to take away from the level of opposition that Mike beat? Because he smoked them?
I think two things. I think, yeah, because he smoked them and ran through them. And that, you know, at that point in time, people, I guess, you know, were spoiled, I guess, with the heavyweight division. I guess a decade before that, you had all these other big name fighters and you had big fights and, you know, a lot of, you know, he was running through the guys there, like, you know, pretty much like nothing until the Holyfields and the Lennox Lewis's came about, you know, so a lot of people question, you know, Tyson's, you know, his resume.
Yeah, but when he fought Lennox Lewis, he was older than me. I mean, he fought Lennox Lewis in 2004 over there in Memphis, Tennessee. Do you know why he fought Memphis?
No.
Marijuana testing. No marijuana testing in Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, I didn't know that.
Well, you know, I mean, come on. It's medicinal for Mike. Of course, he needed a lot of weed for that Jake Paul fight because in my mind, he didn't smoke enough. I mean, he just didn't. He didn't bring it, bro. I mean, I'd be ashamed of him. He walks around now like, you know, nothing to be ashamed of. If it was a Mike Tyson that I grew up with and saw Michael Nunn dog him there in the Olympic Training Center, if it was that Mike Tyson, I don't think that's the same. I think they're two different people.
Yeah, I mean, it was just sad just to see that overall. I mean, even when the ring walk, he tripped and almost fell down. On the way to the ring against Jake Paul.
He had something going on with his legs, and of course he's 56 or 57 years old, and the bottom line is he didn't belong anywhere near a boxing ring except with a microphone.
No, he didn't. There was no reason for him to get back in the ring except to cash out again and just get paid a big payday.
And he bought himself, you know, somebody said he bought like a $13 million mansion down there in Florida or something like that. Yeah. Speaking of Jake Paul was supposed to go with Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Canelo was using it as a bargaining chip for the skull fight. No, for the Crawford fight in September. Is that the way it went down?
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry. What's that?
I mean, Canelo was talking about fighting Jake Paul. Was he just using that as a negotiating ploy to make more money for
him? I honestly think he was using that as a negotiating ploy. I mean, I don't think he was really going to fight Jake Paul. But then again, you know, money does talk. He's asked for a lot of money to fight. Didn't he ask for like $200 million to fight Benavidez or something crazy like that as well?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Canelo's a fraud at this point, and I'm sorry to say it. You know, I think Canelo's a really good fighter, a good boss, but, you know, in this stage of the career, you know, fans want to see quality, right? You want to see guys fight the best. And, you know, him not fighting Benavidez is just a black eye to the sport, and there's a black eye to, you know, it's you know, it's a snub.
But
the
Mexican fans are giving him a pass, on a total pass, bro. It's like they're blind, selectively blind.
Yeah, and I don't get it. I don't get why. But there's a lot of Mexican fans that kind of turned on him as well.
I think some of the names in boxing may have turned on him. For the most part, the Mexican boxing fans don't know how to go.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Well, and then he's got. Oh, and then, you know, now he's got, you know, he's going to get some skull in May. And then, you know, he's got Crawford. And Crawford, you know, I thought, you know, I met Crawford this past Friday. Crawford's actually a little bigger than what I thought he was. So, well, you know, I'm starting to change my tune as to who may win that fight.
Okay, here's what's up. Before we go to a break, I'm going to go to a hard break right now. I'm picking Crawford to win. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with the infamous Tommy D on the other side of the break.
A new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
March the 30th. They're going to throw a, I guess, a gig or a sub. Bobby Chez. Bobby Chez, of course, former two-division champion, I believe, at one point in time. Of course, he was the matinee idol. He was the last guy that really made it on network television here in the United States. Of course, I take that back. Ray Mancini after him. But after Ray Mancini, of course, it went to pay-per-view and things like that and cablevision, of course. And then Oscar De La Hoya came along. But the bottom line is, at one point in time, this guy was a matinee idol. I'm talking about Bobby Chez. Pretty young, 160-pounder, tomorrow's champion. His NBC TV was putting him on TV all the time. And then he got a thirst problem. And the thirst problem, of course, screwed up his boxing career, of course. Then afterwards, after his boxing career was over with, he had a great career going on with Showtime. Showtime Championship Boxing had him as their boxing announcer and analyst. And he was doing a fantastic job as that. I mean, everybody said, man, pound for pound, he's one of the better commentators on TV. And then he got popped twice in a matter of 6 months for a DUI, driving under the influence of booze. So the bottom line, he sort of ruined his career then. Now, he may be facing a perennial 10 count. I mean, the picture I saw of Bobby Chez didn't look good. Evidently, he had some type of brain surgery regarding cancer. So what I'm trying to tell you is that March the 30th, evidently there's going to throw a support gig for him. And is it going to be in New York, Tommy D?
I think it is going to be in New York.
Well, I mean, it would be nice if I'm coming to stay in the Bronx and it is in New York. And well, I wouldn't want it to be in Delaware.
I sent you guys a message as you guys were speaking in the chat, me, you, and the PhD, and I didn't get all the info. I was asking, like, when's the dates and everything. And
it's March the 30th. That's all I know.
March the 30th. Okay. I assume it is. It's in New York, but I think Sokka's the one that posted the flyer.
You know, he...
But it didn't have the date on it, though.
It's March the 30th. It was... Listen, that picture of Bobby Chez is like... Yeah. Have you seen that picture?
I did, yeah.
It's not only enough to make you cry, it make you cry and barf at the same time. I mean, it was sick. It was hard to watch. And good Lord, man. I mean, is there really a recovery from that?
I don't know.
Yeah, so we wish Bobby Chez the best, and we're going to come back and try to support him. I know Jerry Cooney will be part of that. And, of course, Jerry Cooney and I were the only two guys in the boxing business that showed up at a benefit for Greg Page and I can't think of the other guy there, the super middleweight champion, of course, guy that lost to Nigel Benn. Why am I having a hard time with his name? Anyway, bottom line is we had a double benefit, and Jerry Cooney and I were the only two guys that showed up in the boxing game to support these two guys. I was in Rockport, Illinois, of course, about 15, 20 years ago, and of course, Greg Page has passed away. But Jerry Cooney's involved with this one. Scully's involved with this one, isn't he?
Yeah, I think Scully is involved in this one from what I've heard. He didn't mention it to me when we spoke recently. He spoke more of the boat trip that he does. He does like a little boat trip in from City Island here in the Bronx that goes around, you know, the city. You know, it's a pretty nice time and, you know, to support, you know, some retired fighters.
Okay, so, but at the same time, though, he's training Artur Bitabev, isn't he?
Yeah, so he's out in Saudi Arabia getting ready with, just getting accustomed to the time and everything, getting ready for next Saturday. They didn't leave. They left a few days ago, which was different from the last fight where they left like 3 weeks before. And the reason he said was that Artur Bitabev was like, it's no reason to go that early because he's used to traveling and he's used to the time change already. So,
you know
that's why I went a little later.
A lot of times, a lot of times when guys fight in different time zones, they train in that time zone.
Yeah, they do. But in this case, Bitabev, you know, he's so used to traveling because he's always going, I guess, back and forth to Russia and back to Canada because he lives in Canada now. So he's just used to it. So they decided that they didn't need to really be out there so long.
Okay, I'm going to sound really racist here. Don't you think he should have worked on his... Why don't these guys work on their English?
I don't know.
You're laughing. You're laughing. I mean, if Roberto Duran spoke English, he could have made zillions.
that's a fair point. But I'm not sure. I mean, they try to tell these guys, especially the fighters that come from Latin America, you know, and Mexico, they try to get them to speak, you know, more English, you know, but I'm not sure why. I mean, one guy that's learned to do it pretty well, and he's gotten better and better. Canelo's actually got it pretty well at speaking English, and Xander Zayas, you know, he's still really, really young, about 21, 22 years old, and he speaks pretty good English as well.
Without a doubt. Now, okay, let's go through the card you saw the other night. Keyshawn Davis, the businessman, of course, the winner in the main event. Time was 1:45 of round number four, I believe. Of course, Xander Zayas, ranked number one by the WBO, no doubt. He's a Puerto Rican. WBC number three, IBF number five. He's a junior middleweight, meaning 154 pounds, 21 in zip, 19 KOs, and ninth round TKO winner before against previously unbeaten, WBO number 11 guy, Slala Spooner, 21-11.
Yeah.
All right. Could Spooner fight at all?
He was solid. He was, you know, he was there to be hit, but he was solid. He did crack a little bit. He's not known for that punching power, but he did wobble Xander, I believe, in like the third or fourth round. But Xander composed himself and came back strong in that very round. But it was the first time I've seen Xander pretty much wobbled. And
Time out. Why didn't he jump on him like the world was coming to an end?
I think Xander, you know, shook it off pretty good. Like he just,
you're,
I mean,
you're
it
not,
was like
you're,
a,
not,
it,
you're not seeing my point, huh?
No.
All right. He's 1,000-1 underdog between you and I, correct? Just about?
Yes.
All right. He has no chance, right? He gets the one chance, he cracks it once, and he doesn't set the ring on fire. You feel me? That was the one opportunity he had to win this fight, and he didn't go for it. In other words, when you're the opponent, Tommy D, you don't get the opportunity to win usually. You're the judges thing. You know, judges are probably going against you. The hometown people are going against you. The promotion's going against you. I mean, everybody's against you except maybe your corner.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, yeah. So you get the opportunity. When you're the opponent, if you get the opportunity, if an opportunity even opens, even presents itself, you have to take 300%. You have to take a full advantage of it, and guys don't. I'm not trying to say that he could have knocked Xander out or anything like that. What I'm trying to say is he should have realized the intensity and said, this is my opportunity to win.
Yeah, true. But, you know, Xander kind of tied up and kind of presented a good poker face, and, you know, he didn't show that he was really hurt. And he came back – he actually came back strong in that round. But, yeah, I totally see what you're saying. You know, I mean, he could have jumped on him a little bit more, but.
But all fighters, bro. It ain't just him. I'm telling you, a lot of these guys, if you hurt somebody in this net and you get them ready to go, you have to finish them. If you don't, you know, you leave it up to the judges, and we see what happens with the judges. You know, we'll talk about the judges a little bit later in the Tyson Douglas fight, of course, back in February 11, 1990. Do you know two judges had Mike Tyson ahead in that fight?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's great because after he knocked Buster down, you know, after that, Buster kind of took over the fight, which was weird. He like turned it around, you know, and I did not know that.
Well, Mike was doing blow and geishas. I don't know which one is worse for the legs, blow or the geishas, but the bottom line, he was doing both. You know, he admitted a few years ago to having an alcohol problem. I didn't trip on that too much. Did you know he had an alcohol? Did you know he had a booze problem?
I didn't know he had a booze problem. I thought he had a drug problem.
Oh, what was his drug of preference? Come on, man. You're the drug guy. You're one of the connected guys there in Northern California. I mean, in New Mexico. I mean, you know you got all the connections, the Puerto Rican cartel, all that stuff.
I have no connections whatsoever. That's a myth.
Hey, I'll tell you, here's a good one. When I was with Pantera, that rock band that spent some time around Phil Anselmo, Phil was taking cough syrup. Phil was hooked on cough syrup. And then I found out later that a lot of brothers were hooked on cough syrup. It was a thing in the ghetto, drinking cough syrup to get high on. You know what? That's when you're pushing the cough syrup a little bit too far.
Yes.
I mean, come on, man. All right, let's talk about Abdullah Mason. Is he getting too many easy fights here?
I mean, I think they're building it up the right way. I mean, I think he's just really that good. I mean, he beat a guy, right? And he stopped the guy and he knocked him down like three or four times.
Four
times. He punished the guy. And that same guy went 12 rounds with Rolly Romero.
Wait. Are you trying to discredit Rolly Romero on this show, the greatest mouth in the history of boxing as of the last couple of years?
Not really, because, you know, Rolly was a WBA champion for like a day. And
did he have it for a day? I thought he had it breakfast and they took it by lunch.
Something like that. Oh. You know, he's been in a ring with some good opponents. He's been in a ring with Tank Davis. You know, he has some success against Tank Davis, so like one round or two rounds. You know, with that being said, you know, the guy that he fought went 12 with him. I mean, went 10 with him. And, you know, Abdullah made easy work of this guy.
All right. Tank Davis, you brought him up. Of course, Gervonta Davis, undefeated lad. Has he lived up to the hype, or is he fighting a bunch of guys like me and the impeccable one in the other room, easy guys?
You know, to be fair, I think Tank is the goods. I think, you know, he does what us as fans want to see, and that's knockouts. He goes in there and he handles his business and he gets stoppages.
But he keeps knocking out Bailey and me.
Yeah, and that's the bad side, that he's fighting guys that he's, you know, in our opinion, shouldn't be fighting. Now, where is that? Is that because, you know, people don't want to fight him, or is that because he's choosing easy fights? And that's pretty much what the debate is.
Okay, Dominican Olympian and WBO number 13 rank welterweight Roland Polanco. Can he fight?
Oh, he can fight, and he's strong, fast hands, and I like him a lot. And I hope he could get a title shot this year. I think he could beat a guy like Ryan Norman Jr., who's a champion right now at 147. So look out for him, Roland Polanco. He's a really good fighter.
Why am I almost falling asleep here when you mentioned some guy at 147? I don't even know. Let's go back to the card here. Of course, second generation Puerto Rican star Juanma Jr. Juanma Lopez de Jesus. Bottom line is former son of world champion Juan Manuel Lopez. Bottom line, needed 59 seconds to annihilate Brian Santiago. Did Brian hold up his gloves?
He did for a couple of seconds until he got hit, and that was it. You know, and, you know, good for Juanmita. It's his pro debut. He did what he was supposed to do, and he did it in convincing fashion. If you look at that knockout punch, it was pretty awkward the way he threw it. Like, he looked like he wanted to throw, like, an uppercut, and he kind of just went with the hook instead at the same time. It was. If you watch the slow-mo replay, it was pretty weird. I mean, and then to be accurate on that punch as well and knock the guy out. Yeah,
okay.
That was pretty impressive.
A guy that's been on this show many times in the past, of course, I was the executive protection and PR guy for his grandfather. I'm talking about middleweight Nico Ali Walsh. He was on the card, wasn't he?
He was on the card. He opened up the card, and he did not look good at all. And
I
was shocked.
He can't fight.
He can't. I mean, and I don't like to say that about fighters.
I know, that's tough. That's tough to say, but he can't fight, man.
He can whip my butt, I tell you that much. But I was surprised that they gave him the loss, and he did lose that fight. I mean, I was just shocked that they actually awarded it to the other guy.
Well, Vegas, you know, Vegas has Bailey 2.5-1 over him.
I got Bailey.
All right. Anyway, you know what? He's a smart kid. He was going to college here, UNLV, this and that. It's time to walk away from boxing. I mean, he's 11-2 now with 5 KOs. He can't punch much. I mean, he's a decent-looking guy. Maybe he could do some commercials.
Here's the thing. Wasn't it last year Jake Paul tried to offer him like $1 million to fight?
Yeah, exactly.
He's never going to see that
Jake
again.
Jake Paul offered him $several million fight. He wouldn't do it. That was the dumbest move he ever pulled in his life. Listen, I don't want to say I would. Nah, I'm not going to go there. But the bottom line is, Scobby D, I got to run up on a hard break here. I really appreciate you, man. Say hello to your wife. And, of course, hug the kids. Have a great week. And, of course, when you figure out a decent motel or a hotel for me to stay in the Bronx, let me know.
You got it, Pedro.
All the best to you, my brother. And I look forward to seeing you guys in March.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you, too.
All right.
Thank you.
Right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
A big fight, big money, and a big problem.
Controversy, yeah.
Yeah, a win is a knockout, not enough. They say you have to knock out the champ to beat him. I mean, maybe you have to do even more than that. I don't know. But the controversy over the Mike Tyson-Buster Douglas fight first calls for a little history lesson. Let me take you back to Chicago, 1927. Heavyweight title fight. Jack Dempsey knocked down Gene Tunney in the seventh round. But Dempsey didn't go to a neutral corner, so by the time the ref counted nine, Tunney had been on the canvas for some 14 seconds. He got up and went on to win by decision. Tunney later wrote in his autobiography, "The first 9 seconds of a knockdown belong to the man who's on the floor. I never had any thought of getting up before the referee said nine. Whether 25 seconds or 9 seconds had elapsed, when the referee said nine would have made no difference to me. My signal to get off the floor was the count nine." Well, with me now is Bob Serkin, middleweight champ, Michael Nunn's manager, and a longtime boxing veteran, referee and veteran of the fight game. Bob, in all your years of managing fighters and training fighters, what is the one thing you tell them about being knocked down?
Basically, Kenny, you teach a young boxer two things about what happens when he gets knocked down. First, and there's a mandatory eight count, take advantage of the eight. Keep your eyes on the referee at all times. Make sure you understand what the count is. And at the count of eight, make sure you're on your feet and ready to go.
Now, you've also refereed hundreds of bouts, Olympic bouts, including Mike Tyson's only two losses as an amateur. Is that official count that the referee gives in the ring, is that the official count, or is it the one at ringside?
Absolutely, it's the referee's count. The timekeeper, in many cases, can start a count early, can be a little late, but there's only one man that boxer has to listen to, and that is the referee.
So in your opinion, Bob, is there any reason Buster Douglas should not be the heavyweight champion in the world?
It would be the biggest ripoff in boxing history. I was a little worried about the fight when I saw the two Japanese judges. You know, Don King has been very close to that scene for many years. You saw what happened with the two judges. Unbelievably, two of them had Douglas behind. The American judge had the fight scored very rightful at 86-82. If that bout had gone the distance, looking at it now, I think they'd have stole the fight from Douglas.
Great Bob Serkin, of course, boxing official, referee, and of course the advisor to Michael Nunn. He and I had some good times together. Bob, may he rest in peace. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside look in the world of boxing and MMA to an extent. Hour number two coming up after the break, about a four-minute break here on Sports Byline for the news, but we'll have a good hour number two. Of course, I'll bring in Eddie Croft, and we'll dig deep into the world of CTE and Ken Norton, the former heavyweight champion. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. NBA All-Star Weekend kicked off with an event that showcased four teams comprised of the top first and second year NBA players, including an NBA G League standout team. After each of the four teams took the court and battled it out, Team C came out on top with San Antonio Spurs guard Stephon Caso winning MVP, finishing with 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. Rising star Team C will now advance to Sunday's NBA All-Star Game with WNBA legend Candace Parker taking over as honorary general manager. That will become Team Candace. Candace's Rising Stars team will face off against Shaq's OG team. Some of his OGs include LeBron James, Jason Tatum, and Stephen Curry. While Giannis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Nikola Jokic on Chuck's Global Stars will go against Kenny's Young Stars, comprised of players like Jalen Brunson and Anthony Edwards. The first team to 40-point wins as the two semifinal winners will advance to meet in the championship game. Currently in the NCAA men's basketball rankings, Auburn at the number one spot, followed by Alabama, Florida, Duke, Tennessee round up the top five. Houston takes the sixth spot with Purdue at 7. Texas A&M at the 8th spot, St. John at 9, and Iowa State takes the 10th spot. Stay up to date in all things sports, and for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Geico Insurance. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The Weekend Edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. It's the dog days of February, a time when hockey and football all-star games in the old days were just concluding and the NBA was just about to hold theirs. Thankfully, they've all been basically eliminated. The NFL Pro Bowl has been reduced to a flag football game, while the defensively starved NBA and NHL affairs are mini round-robin games. Both winter leagues, however, are using in-season tournaments to capture fan interest this season, with the NBA Cup taking place from mid-November to mid-December, and the NHL launching the Four Nations Face-Off this week in Montreal and Boston, a true replacement for the NHL All-Star Game. All 30 NBA teams played in the NBA Cup, and those games counted in the regular season standings except the championship game. NBA diehards watch these games because, well, they're just that, NBA diehards. I know of no casual fans that took any interest in the NBA Cup. Hopefully the Four Nations Face-Off can do better. The tournament is a round-robin affair of the top four nations in the International Ice Hockey Federation that can create a roster from NHL players. There's something about putting a jersey on of your country that gets the competitive juices flowing. It's a seven-game tournament with each team playing the other three tourney teams once, and the championship game being held at the TD Garden in Boston next Thursday, February 20th. Each regulation win is worth 3 points, an overtime or shootout win is worth 2 points, and the loser in the overtime and shootout games gets 1 point. The overtimes are 3-on-3 for 10 minutes, instead of the NHL 5 minutes before a shootout occurs. The championship game has Stanley Cup playoff overtime rules. I urge the casual fans to give this a look. Past versions of tourneys like this have been a success, and the games are on TNT, ABC, and ESPN. Playing for your nation brings out the best in competition. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. I was the original podcast. That's right. The original sports broadcast back on the internet back in 1992. I didn't know what the internet was. They told me, guess what? You're going to be on the internet next week. I said, what's the internet? They told me it's this big big computer thing. Well, they talked about that in the 1960s. I thought they were kidding. Of course, I also thought they were kidding about having telephones like that would fit in your hand. I kid you not. I remember in 1966 or 67, some scientists told us at a science fair that everybody by the year 2000 would have a portable phone in their hand. Well, the only one that had a phone back then was like Batman. So how could anybody have a phone? Anyway, everybody's got a phone, no doubt about that, and everybody's got a computer. Let's switch subjects. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We're going to touch on the negative side of boxing to an extent in this hour, but we'll bring in the positive, of course, being Eddie Croft, but the negative being the passing of John Cooney, of course, a English fighter who died a week after a fight with a young man by the name of Nathan Howells. Of course, that took place in Belfast, Ireland. And, you know, anytime a fighter dies after a fight, It's sad, and it's unbelievable sometimes, you know. But then again, you think about the world in which you're in. I mean, guys are trying to hit each other, trying to hurt each other. But the bottom line is, it's a sport, right? So how do you cross a sport with almost trying to kill somebody? Well, boxing draws a fine line, no doubt about that, as does the world of mixed martial arts, which I think is really dangerous. But the bottom line is, we'll talk about John Cooney a little bit more in today's show, of course, in his passing. Of course, not the first, not the last, probably to die from combat sports in this year. Of course, deaths have been about 4 to 5. I looked at some of the stats, been 4 to 5 a year in the world of boxing. A lot of the deaths we don't hear about because they take place in third world countries and things like that. But straight up, boxing has its black eyes. Speaking of black eyes, a positive side to this is, of course, Bobby Chez has got some type of brain cancer going on. We're going to hold a benefit for him March the 30th in New York City. So I'm looking forward to that, going back to the Bronx, spend some time there. This hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, I'll touch on Ken Norton. Take it back. When I come back after the break, we'll talk positive in the results of this past week's card. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If you give me enough money, I'll find my own mother.
Former United States Golden Glove champion out of Brooklyn, New York. Of course, at one point in time, I think he did hold a 140-pound belt as well as a professional. I'm talking about Paulie Malignaggi, of course, one of the better analysts in the world of boxing. Talk about fighting his mother if the money was right. Speaking of the money is right, of course, next week, Artur Bitaev and Dmitry Bivol on pay-per-view, the main event. Danny Dubois and Joseph Parker, Carlos Adamas and Hamza Shiraz, Virgil Ortiz and Israel Makhachev, Shakur Stevenson and Floyd Schofield, Zil Zhang and Ajit Kabail, Joshua Botzi and Callum Smith and Bradley Ray, whoever that is, and Constantino Nanga. They'll open this card up. Of course, 8 or 9 bouts on this card, all brought to you on pay-per-view. Of course, coming to you from Saudi Arabia. I think it's a good card. Bob Arum's putting this together. Todd Brown's putting this together. Oscar De La Hoya's putting this together. Eddie Hearn's putting this together. All these guys coming together as far as Frank Warren's part of this. Of course, all these different promoters coming together because of the money that the Sheikh is laying down there, of course, in Saudi Arabia. So we'll get into that in depth in segment number two when I bring in Primetime Eddie Croft. But straight up, let's talk boxing just for a minute. The issues that Bobby Chez is facing, of course, the former matinee idol, I talked about him in hour number one, the fact that he's got some type of brain cancer, and they showed a picture of him after surgery. It was like the most horrible picture I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, I couldn't imagine a picture being more scary. It looked like a horror movie, but it's for real. I mean, it's a horror movie, but it's real, and that really, really, really was frightening. Of course, Bobby Chez, 44-8 as a professional, 28 KOs, really a middleweight. When you turn professional, of course, coming out of the golden era, per se, of NBC Sports. When I say that, of course, when I'm talking about Tomorrow's Champions, that was their card. And, of course, he was part of that group with Alex Ramos and things like that. Turned pro back in 1980 after the Olympics were skipped in 1980 because of some issues as far as politics concerned. Of course, that was President Jimmy Carter, I think, made that decision. But the bottom line is he went on a good professional run at 160 pounds, 154 pounds. And then when he started gaining weight is when things started going bad on him. Of course, so I'm talking about Bobby Chez. At one point in time, Bobby Chez was he was going to be the matinee idol. He was a guy. Of course, then he lost to Mustafa Hamsho. Why they put him in the ring with Mustafa Hamsho, I have no idea. 10-round loss. Of course, he got licked like a stamp. Harold Letterman had it 7-3 as far as the scores were concerned. Of course, Tommy Kazmarek had 7-1 with 2-even. Of course, Larry Hazard, the referee, had it the other way, believe it or not. 4 rounds to 5. Well, the bottom 4, 5, and 1. But the bottom line is Mustafa Hamsho was too much for Bobby Chez at that point in time. Chez went on a bit of a roll, beat a bunch of guys he was supposed to beat, of course. Beat Murray Sutherland, of course, everybody's journeyman. Beat a guy by the name of Slalabom Kakar. He was undefeated last. Tops him in the fifth round of a 15-round fight for the IBF World Light Heavyweight title. And when he steps up to light heavyweight, that's when he was fighting way, way too big for his size. There's no doubt about it, of course. Some of the guys he fought, Jim McDonald, of course, lost to Charles Williams. Got beat by Dennis Andrews as well. Of course, both were, one was inside the distance, Charles Williams back in 1987. The next fight in 88 against Dennis Andrews, he lost to the majority nod there. Lost a couple more fights after that. Again, it was Virgil Hill and Charles Williams. Bottom line is, he beat Andrew Maynard. Maynard was unbeaten. Of course, the 1988 Olympic gold medalist, or the guy that didn't make was he the guy that didn't make it? That guy that missed the taxi cab or something like that and missed the Olympic finals as far as the boxing was concerned. I think it was Andrew Maynard. Of course, that was Ray Leonard's fighter. But the bottom line is, he won and fought Robert Daniels. Bash Ali, he beat Bash Ali. No big thing when he beat Bash Ali back in 1991, because I beat Bash Ali in the gym. Used to lick him like a stamp. Wasn't even close. He was the most slow. He used to drag one foot. That's the best way I could describe Bash Ali, is that he would drag this foot, and I'd be pecking him and moving away from that foot. But he dragged this one foot, and when he dragged that foot, that's all he had. It wasn't much. Anyway, bottom line is, he was always a polite guy with me on the phone. But Bashi beat Bash Ali. Beat Donny Alon. Beat George O'Mara. Of course, lost to Issaquah. Issaquah could fight, no doubt about that. That was at light heavyweight. Take that back. That was a cruiserweight. And then, of course, Tom Tazmarek, Jeff Williams, Rich Evander Holyfield. He got licked like a stamp. They stopped that fight inside the distance. His last fight was against Corey Sanders, who was a heavyweight, and they stopped that fight in the second round. Bottom line is, Bobby Chez got into alcohol after boxing. And I'm talking about as an amateur. Of course, as an amateur, he was a good fighter, no doubt about that, but he wasn't drinking. And once he started drinking, that was sort of like the end. Sort of like with Pernell Whitaker. Pernell Whitaker drank, but he was truly a great fighter. And it didn't take much away from Pernell, because what could Pernell have done that he hadn't really done, except for, put more of a punctuation mark on that fight with Oscar De La Hoya. Of course, I thought he beat Oscar De La Hoya and knocked Oscar down. Of course, the boxing establishment was not about to give Pernell Whitaker, a guy that with a cocaine habit and a propensity to drink, was going to give him a break, no doubt about that. He got the shaft both times when he fought Julio Cesar Chavez back in, was it 1995, of course, in Texas at the Alamo Dome. I think that was 50,000 people out there watching Julio Cesar Chavez, and it was a draw. They called that fight a draw. I have to think about that. They called that fight a draw. Of course, that was a bit of a stinker, no doubt about that. But Pernell Whitaker, one of the most underrated fighters in the history of boxing as far as his ability to get things done. I mean, he had a great record. The only time he lost is when he stepped up in weight. So we wish very best to Pernell Whitaker. But Bobby Chez, of course, they're going to do this benefit. It looks like it's going to go down March the 30th at the Nutley Elks Lodge. That's somewhere, I guess, in New York City. 1 to 5 p.m. Some of the guests that will be there will be Iran Barkley, the Blade himself, Junior Jones, Larry Holmes, Tim Witherspoon, Michael Spinks, Leo Lyakona, and, of course, the great Jerry Cooney. When I say the great Jerry Cooney, he might have been not have been the greatest fighter in the history of the world, but he's a great human being. What he does for fighters afterwards, when he was there in Rockport, Illinois, every time that somebody needs something in boxing, Jerry Cooney seems to be there with the money. Of course, people say that the WBC and Mauricio Suleiman, and maybe to a lesser extent now the Sheik, is putting a lot of money into boxing. But guess what? Before it was popular to do things, that's the way things were done. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Primetime Eddie Croft on the other side of the break.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about, Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
We all love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children, and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We take it from the city by the bay to San Mateo, California, and bring in B Street Boxing's primetime chief. I'm talking about Mr. Time Prime. I'm stuttering. Eddie Croft, help me out.
Pedro, how are you, brother?
I'm stuttering, man. You know, I'm kind of saying it's one of those days. Not as bad as yesterday, but today's a bit of an issue. How's things down there in primetime?
Things are pretty good. They're, you know, pretty good. It's not raining. It's a nice day.
Okay. All right. Let's do the champion checks first. What's Casey Croft doing? What's your lovely wife doing?
Well, right now we're just resting, but we're going to, you know, do some sprints later on today.
No. I mean, is there something on the schedule for her?
No. I mean, there's nothing on the schedule. We're, like, you know, kind of searching around. Hopefully in a couple months, in a couple weeks, you know, we're gonna have like a better idea of what we're going, but hopefully, you know, we'll fight within a couple months.
Are women making a decent amount of money boxing? Do they get paid the same as men?
No, not anywhere close. No,
not even in the upper echelon as far as like the name from some of the name women. I mean, Clarissa Shields not making any money.
Clarissa Shields, Serrano, yeah. Katie Taylor. Yeah, they're making great money, right? I mean, they're millionaires. But
is Katie Taylor the greatest benefactor of judging in the history of boxing?
I don't know. I mean, like that, you know. I mean, the last fight was close. You know,
Eddie, with the cut that Amanda Serrano suffered, I mean, seriously, I would have. I mean, you go to the, you stop the fight. Let's go to the scorecards. We're ahead. Why don't these corners do that? The Koshchizu fight, they didn't do the same. I mean, the Koshchizu, the kid, anyway, the kid, the Timzu, they didn't do that with him. His corner failed on him. He got cut by a foul in the second round. They never stopped the fight. He ended up losing a 10 or 12 round decision. Bottom line is, he should still be undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, but remember, it's like, you know, the doctor has to say that, you know what, this fight has to be stopped. Like, the corner can't say.
No, your guy can't see anymore, you know what, the fight's over with, man. We can't go on anymore. And that fight, that cut was pretty bad as far as his the cut on his forehead, of course. And you couldn't stop that with, according to Jacob Stitcheran, the cut man to the stars, you couldn't stop that because it was right next to an artery.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But what all I'm saying is, under the, you know, under the rules, they can't, like, the corner can't stop the fight. If they stop the fight, that means they are quit. They're thrown in the towel, right? Which means they lose. So that's what I'm saying, Pedro. You know that. You know that. They can't. The doctor can stop the fight and say, hey, you know what? This cut's too bad. It's affecting their vision. They can't protect themselves. It's not safe. Then the doctor can stop the fight.
Do doctors stop enough fights? Do ringside officials do a decent job in your mind?
Ringside officials? You mean
doctors?
Well,
doctors?
The doctors? I think the doctors do a decent job. I think there's too much inconsistency with how referees stop the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you know, needs more work than, you know, whether or not the, you know, the doctor stopping the fight in time or too early or what have you, right? Okay. Like, you know, the doctors are,
man,
the doctors have more time to make those decisions, right? Where the, you know, the referees have got to make split second decisions, and a lot of times I don't think.
But if a guy gets cut on an accidental, a guy gets cut on an accidental foul, that's accidental. I mean, put it this way, I think that for the corner to push him out there after the third or fourth round, that was a mistake. They said, you know what, screw you. The bottom line is he can't continue. Forget what the doctor. Come on, man.
I'm just saying, under the rules, saying.
Okay, let's talk about Dante Kirkman. What's the Stanford University kid doing?
Training hard, getting better every day, and he fights March 8th in, what is that, Lincoln, California, at Thunder Valley.
You know, March 8th is a historic day in the world of boxing. You know why?
What day is March 8th?
March 8th, 1971, the fight of the century. Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, both undefeated, vying for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That was the first one at Madison Square Garden.
March 8th, 1971. The fight with Frank Sinatra was a ringside photographer. All that kind of good stuff.
Wow. Okay. I didn't remember that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go through next week's card because you're the trainer to the stars down there. Of course. How's B Street Boxing doing? And you got is the B Street Boxing? Is it bstreetboxing.com?
Yeah, bstreetboxing.com.
Okay. How do you spell B? B E E.
No, B is in boy.
Okay, get it straight. BStreetBoxing.com. All right, let's go through next week's card. Let's start with the main event. Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol. I'm not too keen on seeing this the second time, but they've scheduled it. Who wins and why?
Oh, man. You know what? First, before I answer, why are you not keen on seeing it?
Because, you know, I'm sort of like, I don't know. I the first one was okay. Put it this way. I guess Beterbiev and Bivol, being the fact that they're not English speaking, I have a bias towards Russian fighters.
Okay, all right. I really enjoyed the first fight.
Okay,
I thought it was great, and I mean, I'm maybe not great, but it was a very good and entertaining fight, and I was, you know, captivated the whole way through. So I want to see it again. I thought it was really close. I did think Beterbiev won, but I thought that I also think that Bivol can do better.
Okay, but when does age play a factor? I mean, Beterbiev's got to be like 48 going on 50.
I think, yeah, he's close to 40.
Eddie, the Russians notoriously are fictitious when it comes to their ages. Russians, Cubans, Colombians, Venezuelans. I think that covers it right there. They lie about their age. I mean, hey, I remember playing soccer with a guy in junior high school. The guy was shaving twice a day in the seventh grade.
Where is he from?
He was from Venezuela.
Okay. You played soccer?
Oh, yeah. I played for a year until they broke. Actually, that was the roughest sport I ever played. They broke my hand playing goalie. Guy kicked that ball so hard, he broke my hand. I said to myself, this probably isn't for me. Besides, and then I played halfback, and all you did was run back and forth. You never saw the ball.
Yeah. A lot of running in soccer. Where, okay. Like, not a lot of action.
Yeah, Daniel Dubois and Joseph Parker, two heavyweights going at it. Dubois, 22-2, been stopped two times. Joseph Parker, 35-3. The IBF World Heavyweight title. What goes down here, Eddie, and why?
You know what? Parker is, you know, a decent fighter. I think Dubois gets that, though. I think he's going to just kind of rough him up.
But Dubois coming into his own there? I mean, I think he is.
Yeah. And, you know, he's had some, you know, a lot of big fight experience, more recent big fight experience than Parker, although Parker did kind of school Wilder. But Wilder's like, a shell of himself and really shot.
Okay. Beterbiev is a minus 150, 158 favorite. Take that back. All right, let's go through the card. What do you think of these guys, this guy Adjit Kayabo? Have you ever heard, seen him?
Agjaba? Is that who we're talking about?
Adjit Kabayo. He's taking on Zil Zhang.
That guy. Oh, you know what? I haven't seen him fight.
Okay.
I haven't seen him fight. Okay. The heavyweight.
Yeah. All right. What about Israel Magomedov and Virgil Ortiz? This is a shootout. Magomedov is a minus 102, and then Virgil Ortiz is minus 124, so it's real close there. Pick 'em fight.
I think Magomedov gets that fight. I want Virgil Ortiz because, you know, I'm always for Americans, but...
Did he miss his calling at 147? At one point in time, I thought he was going to be like the next superstar, the next Oscar De La Hoya at 147. And somehow he's lost his luster moving up in weight. Has he?
I think, you know what? I think because he was overtrained and now he's a snack fighter. So, my wife, Casey, she's in, you know, contact with his team and, you know, kind of helping him with conditioning and diet and stuff.
So, you talk about the snack stuff?
Yeah, SNAC. Okay. Yeah.
What is the snack stuff? What is it? Sports nutrition? What is it?
I think the acronym is Scientific Nutrition for Athletic Competition.
Okay, without a doubt.
Advanced conditioning. Okay. That's what it is.
The products I've taken, the products I've taken from them have been really good. I've got to give Victor ZMA. Props on that one.
Yeah, ZMA.
Yeah, that's it, but you go to sleep. All right. Beterbiev. As far as Shakur Stevens is concerned, he's like a minus 1,100 favorite over Floyd Trofeo, who comes in undefeated, but he's like a weight class below. When is Shakur going to step up and fight somebody? Is Shakur scary? You told me at one point in time he was the best of the bunch, didn't you?
He is still. Actually, I'm Shakur is another snack athlete.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, the biggest thing is, you know what? Victor Conti is like a miracle man, and he is really skilled at reading somebody's blood. He can read blood and tell that person what they need, what they're missing. Tell them how they're training. He says, hey, you know, he can look at their blood and say, hey, you know what? You're doing a lot of long distance runs. How many long distance runs a week are you doing? Like 3 or 4 and about 10 miles? He can tell that by reading your blood. Now, I was like about to die a few years ago. And I was really sick, was, you know, getting down to 80 pounds. And Victor took a look at my blood and told me what was wrong. And, you know, told Casey how what she needed to do and brought me back to health. So that's why I'm like, you know, like really thankful and just like a big believer in what they do over there.
Well, nobody's ever knocked his product. Some people have sort of knocked his protocol back with the Barry Bonds days, but outside, you know,
that's a different thing.
without a doubt. Hey,
well, look, that was a different thing, a different day, and he's actually trying to like right that wrong.
Okay,
right?
I will say this about Barry Bonds, though. It's pretty gnarly when your girlfriend testifies in court. You've got testicular shrinkage.
That was messed up.
I mean, can you imagine that? Your girlfriend, his nuts shrank. Say what? Yeah, you know, I mean, that was anyway. so who's gonna? You think Dubois is gonna win? Beater Bev's gonna beat Bivol?
No. You know what? I think that Bivol is gonna win this time around.
Okay, you want a better soda on that one?
Yeah.
Hey, wait. Did you ever eat that pizza? Listen, I bought him a pizza. Check this out, folks. I buy Eddie a pizza because he tells me I only eat gluten-free pizza now, pizza my heart. So I go to this place in San Mateo, which is a few blocks from this place, get him a pizza because he tells me that the pizza parlor next door to him is a bunch of hobos. There was a pizza parlor right next to him, a New York pizza, mm-hmm. something like that. I said, you like that place? Ah, no, I only go to Pizza My Heart, boss. Okay, so I go get him a pizza my heart, and he tells me, you bought me the New York pizza. What's going on with that, Eddie?
And you know what, Pedro, I was mistaken. And the thing was, at the time, right, when we talked about it, New York Pizza upstairs from the gym didn't have gluten-free pizza. And then when they, you know, they recently got it, they recently started making gluten-free dough.
I got to say something, Eddie. You know, Mexicans are tough people. You know why?
Why?
I never met a Mexican with a food allergy.
Well, I eat a lot of Mexican food.
I'm just giving you a bad Eddie. I'm trying to bring a little humor to this, man.
I eat a lot of Mexican food because, like, corn tortillas don't have any gluten in them.
They don't, huh?
No.
I didn't know that. So, in other words, every time we go to the taco truck, there's no gluten-free tacos?
There's no gluten-free tacos because they are gluten-free.
All right. speaking of gluten-free, what's your weight like right now? What do you weigh?
About 135.
You keep your weight low in 30 seconds. Can you tell people why they should keep their weight low? Because a lot of friends and people listening to the show don't.
Man, like, it's not, like, I don't intentionally. The biggest thing is, look, if you're eating crap and eating a lot of sugar and stuff, man, you're gonna get diabetes, and they're gonna chop your feet off. That's why.
Good point. That's the best point you can make. Anyway, hug Casey. We'll talk soon. Say hello to Dante for me, and maybe I'll stop by the gym this week. You take care of yourself, young man.
Right on, Pedro. Thank you, brother.
The great Eddie Croft, BStreetBoxing.com, down there in San Mateo, California. Of course, trainer extraordinaire, trainer to the stars.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Ken Norton's death was more than the end of a boxing icon. It left unanswered questions, lingering controversies, and an unsettling truth about the cost of athletic greatness. Was it simply the toll of a brutal sport, or was there more to the story? In this video, we're peeling back the layers to reveal the untold truth behind Ken Norton's final years. From his meteoric rise to stardom to the shocking twists that shaped his decline, this is a journey into the life and legacy of a champion. Prepare to uncover the unexpected as we explore the hidden struggles, the lasting impact, and the tragic turn of events that led to his passing. What we've discovered may challenge everything you thought you knew about Ken Norton and the price of glory in professional boxing. Ken Norton's journey to boxing greatness began far from the bright lights of championship arenas. Born on August 9, 1943, in Jacksonville, Illinois, Norton grew up in a modest home during an era of significant racial tension. As a young African American in the 1940s and 50s, he faced challenges that tested his resilience and shaped the determined man he would become. Norton found solace and purpose in athletics. His natural talent for sports was evident early on, excelling in track and field, basketball, and football. However, his path to greatness wasn't straightforward. After enlisting in the U.S. Marine Corps, Norton was introduced to boxing, a sport that would soon redefine his life. Under the disciplined training regimen of the Marines, Norton quickly developed a passion for the ring, displaying a unique combination of power, precision, and an indomitable spirit that set him apart from his peers. Norton's boxing style was as distinct as his journey. He adopted a cross-armed defensive stance, a technique that frustrated opponents and allowed him to absorb and counter punches with remarkable efficiency. This unconventional approach, paired with his explosive power, marked him as a force to be reckoned with in the heavyweight division. It wasn't long before Norton began climbing the ranks of professional boxing, but it was his iconic fight against Muhammad Ali in 1973 that catapulted him to stardom. At the time, Ali was a global icon and seemingly unbeatable. Norton, an underdog by all accounts, stepped into the ring with a fierce determination that few could match. Over 12 grueling rounds, Norton shocked the world, defeating Ali in a split decision and infamously breaking his jaw. The victory earned Norton not only the nickname the Jawbreaker, but also a permanent place in boxing history. He had proven that he could stand toe-to-toe with one of the greatest fighters of all time, cementing his status as a top contender in the golden age of heavyweight boxing. Norton's rivalry with Ali didn't end there. The two would meet in the ring twice more, producing some of the most electrifying fights of their era. Although Ali emerged victorious in their rematches, Norton's performance in those bouts solidified his reputation as one of the toughest and most skilled fighters of his generation. But Norton's battles weren't confined to Ali. He also faced other titans of the sport, including Joe Frazier, Fisher, George Foreman, and Larry Holmes. His fight against Holmes in 1978, which went the distance in a brutal 15-round war, is still regarded as one of the greatest heavyweight bouts of all time. Norton's relentless spirit and strategic thinking were on full display, earning him widespread respect, even in defeat. Norton's rise to stardom coincided with one of the most celebrated eras in boxing history. The heavyweight division of the 1960s and 70s was a golden age, filled with legendary fighters who defined the sport. Norton's ability to not only compete but excel in this highly competitive landscape speaks volumes about his skill, discipline, and determination. Outside the ring, Norton became a cultural icon, admired not only for his athletic prowess but also for his dignity and sportsmanship. He was a symbol of perseverance and grace, qualities that resonated with fans during a time of social change and upheaval. Ken Norton's rise to stardom is a testament to the power of determination and resilience. From a small-town boy facing adversity to a world-class athlete standing among legends, his journey was as inspiring as it was extraordinary. Yet, the fame and success came at a cost that would only become apparent in the years that followed. As we delve deeper into Norton's story, the challenges he faced both in and out of the ring reveal a man whose strength extended far beyond his physical capabilities. Ken Norton's career was defined by unforgettable moments that solidified his place among the greatest heavyweight boxers in history. His trilogy with Muhammad Ali remains one of the sport's most iconic rivalries, showcasing Norton's resilience and unique fighting style. After his shocking 1973 victory, where he broke Ali's jaw, Norton faced Ali two more times, pushing him to the brink in both bouts. While Ali narrowly won their rematches, the closeness of the fights left many debating whether Norton deserved at least one more victory in the series. Their battles symbolized not just athletic excellence, but also the competitive spirit of an era known as boxing's golden age. Norton's 1978 bout against Larry Holmes further cemented his legacy. The fight, a grueling 15-round war for the WBC heavyweight title, is widely regarded as one of the greatest heavyweight matches of all time. Holmes edged out Norton in a razor-thin split decision, but Norton's performance won him immense respect. The match demonstrated his relentless stamina, incredible heart, and ability to deliver under the highest pressure. Despite the loss, Norton's reputation as one of the toughest and most skilled heavyweights remained unshaken. Norton also faced George Foreman, a fight that showed the stark realities of boxing's brutal nature. Though Foreman emerged victorious, the bout highlighted Norton's courage and willingness to face any challenge, no matter how daunting. Norton's willingness to step into the ring against the era's fiercest opponents, Ali, Holmes, and Foreman, spoke to his fearless character and competitive spirit. Beyond the ring, Norton's influence extended into the cultural fabric of the time. At a moment when African-American athletes were fighting for recognition and respect, Norton's dignity and grace made him a powerful symbol of perseverance. His ability to rise above the adversities of the sport and the broader challenges of the era inspired countless fans and fellow athletes alike. Norton didn't limit himself to the boxing world. With his charisma and natural charm, he seamlessly transitioned into acting and entertainment. He appeared in films like Mandingo, 1975, and Drum, 1976, showcasing his versatility and expanding his influence beyond the sport. Norton also made guest appearances on television shows, further solidifying his status as a cultural icon. Moreover, Norton used his platform to advocate for causes he cared about. Whether through public speaking or mentoring younger athletes, he remained committed to uplifting those around him. His presence in the entertainment industry and his advocacy work highlighted a side of Norton that went beyond boxing, a man of depth, integrity, and purpose. Ken Norton's career wasn't just about titles and accolades, it was about embodying the values of perseverance, grace, and resilience. His influence reached far beyond the ring, touching the lives of fans, peers, and aspiring athletes. Norton's legacy as a symbol of strength and determination remains a vital part of boxing history, reminding us that greatness isn't just measured by wins and losses, but by the impact one leaves on the world. Ken Norton's career in the ring was marked by grit, determination, and countless victories against some of the greatest names in boxing. But behind the glory was a darker reality. reality, the immense physical toll that the sport took on his body and mind. Like many fighters of his era, Norton endured repeated blows to the head, absorbing the kind of punishment that would have lasting effects on his health long after he retired. Boxing is an inherently brutal sport, and the heavyweight division where Norton fought is particularly unforgiving. Norton's battles with Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, and George Foreman were not just iconic. They were grueling wars of attrition. Each fight added to the cumulative damage his body and brain endured. The repeated trauma Norton suffered during his career would ultimately manifest in significant health issues, both physical and mental, later in life. One of the most insidious consequences of such repeated trauma is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. This degenerative brain condition, often associated with contact sports, develops from repeated blows to the head. Though the term was not widely recognized during Norton's time, its symptoms were unmistakable in his later years. CTE often begins with subtle changes, memory loss, difficulty concentrating, and mood swings. Over time, it can progress to more severe symptoms, including confusion, impaired judgment, personality changes, and depression. For Norton, these signs became increasingly apparent after his retirement. The once sharp and articulate champion began to struggle with disorientation and erratic behavior, leaving those close to him worried about his declining health. Norton's symptoms mirrored those of other boxing legends who faced similar struggles. The unrelenting blows he absorbed during his career caused lasting neurological damage, which slowly eroded his quality of life. As the years went on, the effects of CTE became more pronounced, making simple tasks difficult and robbing Norton of the physical and mental agility that had defined him in his prime. The toll was not only physical, but deeply emotional. CTE often leads to mood instability, including periods of anger and depression. Norton's family witnessed firsthand the challenges of navigating these changes as he battled to maintain his dignity in the face of a debilitating condition. The physical toll extended beyond his neurological health. Norton suffered a series of strokes in his later years, which left him partially paralyzed and dependent on full-time care. These strokes, compounded by the effects of his boxing career, further diminished his independence and mobility. The man who once moved with the grace of a panther in the ring now faced the heartbreaking reality of struggling with basic tasks. Ken Norton's struggles in his later years serve as a stark reminder of the price athletes pay in pursuit of greatness. For boxers, the cumulative damage to the brain is often hidden, only to surface long after the cheers have faded and the crowds have gone home. Norton's life is a testament to the resilience of the human spirit, but it also highlights the urgent need to address the long-term effects of head trauma in contact sports. Today, the conversation around CTE has grown louder, thanks in part to athletes like Norton, who lived through its devastating effects. Research has advanced, and measures are being taken to better protect athletes. But for Norton, these changes came too late. His legacy now serves as a cautionary tale, a reminder of the hidden cost of glory in the ring.
You know, I've talked time and time again about how his son, of course, talked about CTE in football. I'm talking about Ken Norton Jr., a former player and, of course, a coach for both the Raiders and the 49ers at one point in time. But he talked about CTE and the fact that contact, man, guys hitting each other as far as on the football field and with helmets, that's not good for you. Neither is boxing. But the bottom line is, you know, contact sports are here to stay. How do you make contact sports safe? I don't know if you can or not. Bottom line is, let's go to a break. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
Let's go to some Twitch stuff brought to us by Frank1961, the house historian. Got his name back. I guess the posting all that porn on Twitch got you in trouble there for a little bit. Had to do an alias, but now you're back to being Frank1961, which is really cool. By the way, he said in February 16, 1986, of course, Livingstone Brambo defended the WBA lightweight title he took from Ray Mancini with a 13th round KO of Tyrone Crowley. Let me tell you about Tyrone Crowley. Tyrone Crowley was an undefeated fighter out of Philly. Nobody wanted to fight him. And unbelievably, the people down there in Texas that were handling Robin Blake, I'm talking about Dave Gorman and all that team, they decided they were going to fight Tyrone Crowley because they wanted to fight on television. And Mort Shonick told them, if you want to fight somebody on TV, you got to fight somebody like Crowley. Anyway, Crowley beats Robin Blake. Robin Blake, like the Great White Hope never happened, so that was the end of that career. But the bottom line is, as far as Crowley was concerned, he retired at 22-2 with only 7 KOs. He couldn't punch, but he boxed in the Army. He passed away in January 15, 2020, with the age of 62. He was also a member of the Philadelphia Police Department. He was a really good guy to be around. He just was. I mean, he was a wonderful guy to be around. May he rest in peace. So now let's go through next week's card. We are just 6 days away. Of course, Peter Bev is going to beat Bivol, I think, unless he gets old overnight because the guy's 45 going on 90. Daniel Dubois probably beats Joseph Parker. No, I take that back. That's a coin toss. I'll go either way on that one. Carlos Adamas and Hamza Shiraz, the guy with the name probably ain't going to win. Virgil Ortiz and Israel Magomedov, this is a coin toss, no doubt about that. Shakur Stevenson should beat up on Floyd Schofield like it's his little sister. Zil Zhang and Ajibit Cabello. Of course, Ajibit Cabello, 25-0, a slight favorite on the booking cards, on the betting sheets. Zil Zhang, 27-2 out of China. He's a big guy. He's another guy that's like 90 years old going on 100. Then another feature on the card, Joshua Bossi and Callum Smith for something for the WBO interim light heavyweight title. Of course, there's a prelim before that. But the bottom line is, these are pretty good fights. There's no doubt about it. But I wouldn't call it the greatest card of all time. That's what people are calling it. Come on, man. I think that's a bit of a reach. I mean, outside the Virgil Ortiz fight, which is a pick 'em, and the Daniel Ball fight was a pick 'em. Beckham, Arthur Bedebev, and Dmitry Bivol. The star potential's there for everybody but me. Why? Because I just didn't get off that much on the first fight. I mean, I just didn't. Now, I want to see David Benavidez step up and fight these guys. I think Benavidez is the best fighter pound for pound in the world of boxing right now. People say to me, oh, man, how can you say that? When there's no one, Noy being undefeated, and of course, Oleg Usyk being the undisputed heavyweight champion. Well, guess what? If anybody could probably beat Usyk, it would be David Benavidez. I mean, that's how good he is. I kid you not. Everything he's done thus far, he's passed with superb grades. There's no doubt about that. The ducking of Canelo Alvarez, of course, the greatest duck in the history of boxing, according to the aforementioned Paulina Malignaggi. Now, next week's card will be on pay-per-view. But I'm going up the street to the strip club up here, and I'll watch it for free up the strip club. Of course, lots of people will be watching this fight through their binoculars in other people's rooms and this and that. And a lot of you have these hot fire sticks and all these different scramblers and that kind of good stuff. And, you know, I guess that's where the future's at, because nobody seems to be buying pay-per-view. I mean, I polled 15 people that I knew in the last couple of weeks on when's the last time they bought a pay-per-view, and they were all taking the fifth. I mean, you're taking like the fifth. I kid you not. Anyway, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one, Bailey Peck, has come in today and put up with me. I thank him so much for that. Outside of that, I thank you for putting up with me. Of course, Frank, 1961. As far as Matt, main event Matt is sick down there in St. Louis. Main event Matt, get sick. Get well soon, my brother. God, we're all working. You know, we need you. We need you here. No doubt about that. And the family needs you. So straight up, another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Thank you.